Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, thanks so much for listening today. But it's actually a beautiful morning with no rain. So if you're in the house, get out of the house. Sign up for the podcast and listen to us later. If you're in the office, I won't tell your boss. But in any case, the new GI Bill, as you just heard on NPR News, has just taken effect. And it is a huge program. It covers any member of the military who served after September 11th, 2001, and it expects to pay out $78 billion in benefits over the next decade. Upside, the new bill covers private colleges, not just public ones, and vets can transfer unused benefits to their spouses or children. But the education benefits are doled out via a complex formula that seems to shortchange vets in some states, including possibly Massachusetts and California. So let's talk about the whole thing. Two guests are with us, Paul Rykoff, the founder and executive director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and Major Jameson Braun, deputy chief of transformation for the Air Force Personnel Center, which is located at Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. Thank you both very much for your service to our country. Major, welcome to WNYC, and Paul Rykoff, welcome back.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Brian.
And I want to let listeners know that we can take questions. If you're a vet and want to know what you're eligible for or just have a general question about the new GI Bill, anyone can call us, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or ask a question or post a comment to our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And, Major, just to be very clear, who exactly qualifies for the benefits? Do you have to have enlisted after September 11th, 2001?
Actually, Brian, you don't need to have enlisted after that period of time. You just need to have served 90 days or more of aggregate service to be eligible for the minimum benefits associated with the post-9/11 GI Bill.
So even an older member of the military who was in prior to 9/11 but served another 30 days after, is that what I'm understanding you?
90 days.
90 days after that.
Absolutely. There's two major components to the post-9/11 GI Bill. The first one is the basic eligibility, which encompasses, you know, a great number of those members who have served and defended our freedoms. And then the second piece that we are really proud of is the transferability aspect.
And Paul Rykoff, talk about the transferability aspect. When we say spouses and children of the service members themselves are available, when does that take effect?
It takes effect now also. I mean, you can qualify for that if you've served the minimum amount of time. You have to have served at least 6 years of active duty National Guard or Select Reserves, and you have to agree to commit to 4 more years of service starting August of 2009. The transferability was a bit of a sticking point during the fight on the Hill last year for the benefit, but ultimately it was in there. All the veterans groups are very happy about it. And if I could just touch on one thing, Brian, it is a very complex benefit to try to calculate. For the average service member who's listening right now, it's going to depend on how many days of service you had, what kind of duty you performed. And we tried to create a very simple website that lets people figure it out. So if you go to newgibill.org, it's the best website out there, better than anything the VA's got. And it really helps you input your data, and it spits out the amount of money that you're going to get, and it also connects you with the VA and other resources. But it is a complex benefit. So for folks listening, if you hear a lot of terminology that seems confusing, there are websites out there that can help you navigate that process.
And we've been using the word veterans. Do you actually have to have left the military in order to take advantage?
No, you don't. Just 90 days of cumulative service, and that entitles you to about 40% of benefit. That includes tuition, books, a living allowance. It's really a huge step up from what we had prior to this piece of legislation. Senator Webb, Senator Warner, a real bipartisan group, led the fight for this over the last 2 years, and it really puts us back on the footing we had after World War II, where we helped create the greatest generation, really invested in the long-term development of some folks that have sacrificed so much for us. So it is a big day. There are some things we've got to iron out in Washington the next couple of months. But no matter how you cut it, this is a huge benefit for the almost 2 million folks who've served in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And Major Braun, I mentioned that private colleges and not just public ones can also be part of this program, or individuals really who attend those colleges. How is the benefit calculated if you attend a private university?
Yeah, that's right, Brian. One of the greatest benefits is, as the law is written, it will pay for all the benefits entitled at the highest in-state tuition rate of a public university. However, the GI Bill went and partnered with the large private universities and said that if they agree to pay the 50% difference, so too will the Veterans Administration, resulting in almost a completely free college experience for our veterans. What an incredible benefit.
So if you're going to a very expensive private college, some of them are over $50,000 a year at this point for tuition and room and board, how much could one expect to have that covered?
Feasibly, it could cover up to the entire $50,000. Plus, let's not forget that they get over $1,000 annual book stipend, and we pay them room and board, which is right now, on average, $1,333 a month.
So you said conceivably, and Paul Rykoff, continue to tease that out for us. How would that actually have to work? I mean, some people are listening and probably, you know, either writing out their applications right now as a result of hearing this, you know, to go to a very expensive private school, or saying, wait, why should my tax dollars be going to send people to Princeton when they could just as easily and much cheaper go to Rutgers?
Well, the school itself is got to buy into what's called the Yellow Ribbon Program. The benefit right now is established to pay for the highest priced in-state public school tuition, and that was also a sticking point. You know, a lot of us wanted to cover every private school just like they did after World War II, but this is kind of a compromise. It is a good, huge step up, and those private schools have stepped up at a really high rate, but it doesn't cover every school that's private across the sun at the highest levels. There is a lot of variance dependent upon the school you're going to. And as you mentioned earlier, there are some states that have a really complicated system that makes them actually end up worse off with this GI Bill. It's a small percentage of folks. We think about 10,000. But full-time National Guard soldiers, distance and vocational learners, and vets attending private schools, specifically in California, Massachusetts, and Washington, D.C., where they separate tuition and fee caps, there'll be some real inequities there and some confusion. And as I mentioned, IAVA is working with Congress now to iron those out, and we hope we'll get a fix on the legislative side by the end of this year.
The IAVA is the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. We have their founder, Paul Rykoff, with us. He's executive director as well of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and a veteran himself of Iraq, and Major Jamison Braun, Deputy Chief of Transformation for the Air Force Personnel Center at the Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, both talking about the new GI Bill, which just took effect and, as you are hearing, has some very generous education benefits for members of the service and, in some cases, their spouses or children. And our phone number, 212-433-WNYC, if you have questions or reactions, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. One person writes a little bit sarcastically, so we can't offer everyone a free college education in this country, but if you play roulette with your life for the glory of the empire, we'll give you a few bucks for school instead of paying your health care costs if you get PTSD. Thanks, America. Paul Rykoff, is it better than that?
It is. I mean, it's definitely better than that. And a lot of folks join the military for a variety of different reasons. And I think that this benefit really shows that we've finally stepped up and that we want to turn the page on Vietnam. We don't want to abandon a generation of vets who came home to inadequate services like we saw after Vietnam. And I think it's important that Vietnam veterans were leading the fight on this. Folks like Senator Webb, who is a Vietnam vet, decorated Marine Corps vet, his son served in Iraq. You know, he stepped out in front and said, this is something we need to honor the service of our veterans, no matter where you stand on the war. And it doesn't matter who you voted for, what party you're affiliated with. This is a benefit that's long overdue. And in economic terms, it's also a sound investment for the taxpayer. The original GI Bill generated about $7 to the national economy for every dollar invested. So as the U.S. government doles out a lot of money to a lot of folks, this is a group of people who we think really deserve it and will also benefit the taxpayer in the end.
Major Braun, are there benefits other than education in this new GI Bill?
Absolutely, Brian. One of the things that we look at as an active component Air Force is the recruitment and the retention aspect. So recruitment and the fact that we're able to let people know up front that by joining the service that this benefit will be available to you and that we'll take care of you on the back end, or while you're serving. But the other piece is those people who reach 6 years or 10 years collectively for spouse transfer or for child transfer, you know, the services get that additional 4 years of retainability, which is critical as we move our enterprise forward to continue to harness that managerial expertise.
And on the transferability that we mentioned earlier, to be clear, it's a transfer, which means that if you use the education benefit yourself, your kids or spouse cannot. It's either or, it's not both and. Correct, Major?
Well, that's not necessarily true, Brian. The rule says that you have 36 cumulative months, at which case the service member may elect to authorize his dependents for transfer. But they always have revoke privileges. So say, for example, that you had a junior in college and you said, instead of paying for it out of my pocket this next month, I'll transfer 10 months to my student, and then they get the housing benefits and everything else. The service member is still left with 24 months. So I don't know that it's necessarily an either-or. I think it's a good benefit for the entire veterans family.
Paul Reckhoff, want to talk about the job training or health care aspects of the new GI Bill?
Sure. You know, the one thing that I would start with is that sending folks to college is arguably the best job training they can get, and right now the veterans population needs it. We've got an unemployment rate that is well over 12%, which is significantly higher than we're seeing in the general population. So sending these folks to college is going to set them up for success in the workforce. It's also going to help them deal with some of the emotional and psychological injuries that they may face coming home. Putting them into college is the right way to help them readjust from a very traumatic and challenging experience. The healthcare piece is something we're always fighting for. We're pushing for the expansion of mental health services. Recently, the Senate passed a legislative regulation that would mandate the Department of Defense to screen everyone for mental health issues going over and coming home. So there's a lot of work still to be done on the healthcare side. We're pushing for more vocational and distance learning. That's an area that really wasn't as robust as we would have liked to have seen here. Right now, the vocational programs are specifically excluded from the benefits, along with on-the-job training, apprenticeships, and that's what we're hoping to fix in the next round.
Yeah, I think we have a question about that from Helen in Manhattan. Helen, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thank you. You know, year after year in New York and probably in many states, there is scandal about private vocational schools that end up being accredited by the Department of Education for loan money, and also by their own private accreditation organizations. But there's scandals year after year about they let people in who don't really have the basic skills. They have high dropout rates. These students end up, you know, with huge loans, which might not be the case in this situation. But I would really like to see there be very strict restrictions on vocational education and on these private profit-making companies that often rip off students, and the online programs, which there are also scandals about giving, you know, diplomas when they're really students really didn't learn anything. So I am all in favor of vocational training and even some online training, but if it is not regulated, it is just going to be a boondoggle for these private programs, and I think it'll be a lot of heartache for a lot of these soldiers and sailors and service people. So
Helen,
Helen,
thank you very much. And you're right, though, some of those scandals and some of those ripoffs have been in the news lately. Major Braun, do you want to comment on that? Because not every vet who comes home is or is discharged is necessarily interested in college in that particular sense. Maybe some of them want to actually go out and just get vocational training or get certain kinds of skills training, you know, that are not college. Not everybody has to go to college. So what do you think about the quality of the benefits in this respect?
Well, Brian, you know, the 9/11 GI Bill was really focused on the Institutes for Higher Learning. Let's not forget that those members most likely also still qualify for the previous Montgomery GI Bill. So the Montgomery GI Bill had the entrepreneurship training programs, the national testing programs, certain OJC and apprenticeship training programs. So the only benefit that the post-9/11 GI Bill really looks at is institutes of higher learning and then also single levels of certification.
Here's a question from our website. Eric wants to know, is there a time limit to the benefit? My son is currently in the service and has an 18-month-old daughter. Can he use his benefit for her college education when she is of college age? Major?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Can you believe this?
That's a long time from now.
It is. The law writes, the old Montgomery GI Bill allowed you to use your benefits as an individual for 10 years after service. The new 9/11 GI Bill gives you up to 15 years after discharge to be able to use your benefits. And if you transfer it to your children, they are not subject to that same time limitation. I transferred mine to my 18-month-old son just last week.
There you go. Larry in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Oh, what a great idea this is. And I'm not kidding. I absolutely think that it is. However, I'm a 64-year-old gay man that served in the Vietnam War era. My people are not allowed to join the service with any kind of equanimity. And I am absolutely livid that not only is this being offered with my tax money, but it's going to be extended into dependents. I say it's a great idea, but give me the opportunity to have some of my people take advantage of it as well.
Thank you, Larry. Paul Reckoff, is this part of what the Iraq and Afghanistan War Veterans of America stands for? Are you pushing for an end to Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
No, right now it's not an issue we've taken on. We've been focused on the GI Bill, which is keeping us more than occupied for the last 2 years and fighting for health care issues. But it will come up in the next year, that's for certain. Congressman Patrick Murphy, who is an Iraq veteran, has reintroduced legislation to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. There will definitely probably be definitely be Senate hearings in the next year on the issue. But it doesn't look like Congress is going to take up the issue too early next year at the earliest. It is a contentious issue. I think that our population of younger vets definitely looks at this differently than previous generations. But right now, we're focused on education and health care.
And Rebecca in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Should I just go ahead and ask?
Okay.
I work in a shelter for homeless veterans, and the population of people who fought in Iraq and Iran is growing. Are there any benefits specifically that focus on homelessness right now? It's really bad.
Major Braun?
Well, I wouldn't say that they necessarily focus on homelessness. I'd say they focus on veterans. And again, any member who served after September 10th of 2001 is eligible for the full execution of these benefits. So this may be a way out.
Rebecca, do you think with the population of homeless vets that you work with that some of these education benefits might actually be a way out?
You know, it's really difficult to difficult to pursue an education when you have no place to live. I mean, there are priorities, and I think that while I'm not expecting them to focus on homelessness, but definitely maybe special housing programs, because there's very little housing right now, especially for people who have limited income. And I think after you find a place to live and, you know, that's safe in your own, I think then you can focus on education.
Yeah, Brian, can I touch on that real quick?
Paul, go ahead. Maybe you can work something out for a dorm room.
Well, we are pushing for expanded benefits for homeless veterans. Right now, there are estimates that there could be as many as 3,000 Iraq and Afghanistan veterans sleeping on the streets in America. So it's definitely a priority issue for our organization. Right now, there is legislation working through Congress to expand transitional housing, to provide more shelter beds, and to focus on some of the harder-to-reach homeless populations from previous generations. So, you know, there is movement on homelessness. President Obama made a pledge to try to end veterans' homelessness in his first term, and we're going to hold him to that. But right now, the legislation has been stalled a bit by the health care debate, but we hope that we can pick it back up toward the end of this year, early next year.
And I guess that's one of the big differences between the new GI Bill and the old one. Here we are recouping a lot of the kinds of education benefits that post-World War II veterans had, but the other big component of that way back then was housing, was VA loans to make buying your own home more affordable, and I guess there is no housing component here. Last question from a listener in Queens who asks, do those dishonorably discharged qualify? Major Braun.
Well, I'll leave that one up to the Veterans Administration, but I can tell you that at least has to be a honorable characterization of discharge underneath the law.
So that would actually, that kind of goes back to Larry's question, because if anybody is found out to be gay or lesbian under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, then they are dishonorably discharged. Is that true?
Again, I'll defer that question to the Department of Veterans Administration.
Paul Reichoff, do you know?
I don't. I think it may be a less than honorable discharge? I honestly don't know the answer, but I think we've got that answer and a variety of others in our frequently asked questions section of the new GIbill.org website.
And
so
would
I'd refer
that,
folks to check that.
Would that disqualify from the benefits?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I'd have to check it. Okay. It's one of the many regulations that have been in the fine print that we're still sifting through, and that's why we had to create a website to get through them all. We don't know all the answers, and like I said, we're getting mountains of questions coming into our office every day.
All right. The new GI Bill, now in effect with very generous education benefits for many members of the armed forces and or their families. We thank Paul Rykoff, founder and executive director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and Major Jameson Braun, Deputy Chief of Transformation for the Air Force Personnel Center at Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. And I never even got to ask you what transformation is, since you're the Chief of Transformation.
I'm still looking for that definition myself, Brian.
Break out the Transformers. I don't know if
That's
you saw
exactly
that.
Right.
There was a battle on Colbert the other day. Oh, no, we won't go there. Major Braun, Paul Rykoff, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Yeah, between a Transformer and a Barbie doll, that one. Coming up in a minute, New Jersey's other scandal. It lives in the Meadowlands, and it's crawling right up to Governor Corsine's doorstep, at least indirectly. Stay with us.